Okay. Okay, so if you remember, we're dealing with the sugya of Hanoga Hamishpat, Hanoga Sayichud. We understood each one on its own. Hanoga Hamishpat is the world we live in. The world of Schar V'Onesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to earn the Schar that he wants to give us. And therefore, you have to go through a system where you earn it. That's the world we live in, the world of Schar V'Onesh. And that's the world of Yud Gimel Ikre Imuna. And that's there in order that the schar, when you eventually get it, will come as a reward and not as a gift. Hanoga Sayichud says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a world. He has a purpose for this world. Oh, by the way, in the Hanoga Samishpat, everything's tolu on us. The ultimate success of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's endeavor is tolu on us. It's dependent on us, right? Hanoga Sayichud says, now forget about Hanoga Samishpat. Hanoga Sayichud says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built a world for a reason. And that reason is going to be successful one way or another. At the end of the day, the world has to go where it has to go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tachlis in the Bria has to be fulfilled. And therefore, whatever has to happen, has to happen. In other words, it's a complete stira, contradiction to Hanoga Samishpat. Hanoga Samishpat says, all tolu on me. And depending if I do it or I don't do it, will determine whether the world comes to its fruition. Hanoga Sayichud says, it doesn't make nothing to do with you. It's all about Hashem, and Hashem will take care of everything. That's the stira. When you try and put these two together in a mizug, you dilute these two together, you come up with a big problem, and that's what we're busy grappling with. We said, to put in slightly other terms, Hanoga Samishpat is Yira, and Hanoga Sayichud is Ava. That's by Srishana by Shani. That's where you really see it coming out clearly. These two dynamics, how you see them functioning in the world together. Hanhogas ha Yichud is what was the strength of Vice Rishon. It was an unbelievable avos Hashem, unbelievable vacuous in Hashem, an understanding of the unconditional love that Hashem has for us. But there was a zilzul in mitzvah. In other words, people, there was so much avos Hashem that the mitzvahs eventually got denigrated. And we landed up with Gimel Chamuros. If a person can get to, through Avos Hashem, you can come to Gimel Chamuros. If you don't understand that there also needs to be Hanoga Samishpat. By Sheini, there were Mo'od Medakta Kinalochen in Mitzvah. But there was Sinas Chinam. There was Sinas Chinam. We explained what Sinas Chinam was. What was the sinus chinam? Mikdash sheni sheyoiskim b'teiru of mitzvahs melos chosadim. If nama chorim b'nei sheyisa bo sinus chinam. Ah, so we saw the goyin there. Why does a person have sinus chinam? It's because he's lacking and he's betochen b'Hashem. Haman v'betach ki hakol hu midei shamayim. Everyone that understands that everything's from Shamayim. No one can take away from your COVID and your money, nothing. Because nobody does anything except Hashem. So a person understands it can't be angry with anybody else. If you desire for revenge against the Arabs, you're missing the plot. Maybe in the world of Ishtadlis, there's room to talk about that. But the first thing a Jew has to do is understand that if there's missiles coming here, it's an invitation from a Kodesh Baruch Hu to do something. So Rambam says if you put things down to natural causes, then Hashem's going to punish you even more. The corona was natural. Oh, then there was Meron. Yeah, that was because of the police. They didn't open up the gate. They closed the gate. So that wasn't enough. So now the missile started. Now the whole country's burning. That's also not enough because it's the Arabs and it's this and it's the politicians. And now in England it's burning. And now it's England's burning. And then this Kalinstan and the provincials collapse. Rahman, it's done. We need to take some responsibility for what's going on in the world and stop blaming everybody else. The first thing they do when something like that happens is who's going to get arrested and who's the police violent? Was this guy's fault? That guy's Rabbeinu Shalom. There's not a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world anymore. Oh, we're missing it completely. Right. Somebody has a bit. Why is called sin is chinam? Okay, good. That's another discussion. Mitzvah Hashem, we won't have to discuss it again this year on Tisha B'Av. Mitzvah Hashem, Mashiach will come. We won't have to discuss mazeh sin is chinam anymore. But closer to the Ramadan, remind me what the sugya of sin is chinam. That's okay. Well, that's called sin is chinam. Excellent. Okay. But the shayresh of all of that is a lack of betochen in Hashem. Kino, what's jealousy? Why are you jealous? Because somebody has something that you don't have. If you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you everything you need and everything that's good for you, why are you jealous that he's got something? What he's got's not good for you. Why would you want to wear someone else's spectacles? It's not your prescription. No, I want you. Yeah, he's got a car. I want his. That's not your prescription. If you needed to have the car, it would be good for you to have it. And if you don't have it, it's not good for you. So there's no room for jealousy anymore. You've got to check it down. You'll see it's all in the shayresh of the lack of the car. Okay, fine. Now let's have a look and see. And see, take by Rishon and by Shane a little bit deeper and see how we can try and get to some understanding of how we live with Anogas Amish but Anogas Yichud together. Because as we saw, last summary, just because it's been a while since we learned this, yeah, I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. The Muskal Rishon is, listen, Anogas Yichud's way beyond me. I can't understand it. Try and live with both these Musogim together, it's even worse. What do I need it for? Hashem gave me a Torah. I live with an August Amishpat. I don't need an August Yifut. I need Chayv an August Amishpat. You live with an August Pit, you're doing very well. You're doing very good. So we saw that was a Chuban by Shani. If you just live with an August Amishpat, then you're not helping to bring Mashiach because the by Shani was destroyed because there was a lack of an August Yifut. So we can't just nelam from it. We have to try and understand this properly. Okay. Now let's start. Reish Pei Ches. Vais Rishon Chuban Achitzonius. Vais Rishon was a Chuban, the external Chuban. And by Sheni was a Chuban Apnimius. Let's see what that means. Al Pidvorim Eilu. Based on everything we've said up to now and more that we've said, I haven't brought up everything we said before. Novin Haitiv Es Divra Gemarin Masechtas Yuma. Gemara says there. Nizgala Avoinam Nizgala Kitzon. Vais Rishon. The sin for why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was revealed. And the end of the Golus was also revealed. The Kitzon, the Kates of the Golus was revealed. 70 years and you come home. Achreinim lo nizgala, avoinim lo nizgala Kitzon. The second Beis HaMikdash, the Aveira, the oven that caused it wasn't revealed. And therefore the end hasn't been revealed. When's the end of Golus Sheni, of this Golus that we're in? When's the end of it? Don't know. Why wait till tomorrow? Why wait till tomorrow?
Now. We want Mashiach tomorrow.
You also have a Grossness, his Zayda. His Zayda was by the Chofetz Chaim. In Radin at that time, they installed all the Marechet for electricity. But they hadn't joined it up yet to put it in. In other words, it was all ready to go, but it just wasn't Mechubar. Then Grossness Zatzal was leaving Radin. To go, I don't know where, maybe to go to the Baruch Be at the time. I don't know where he was going because he learned first in Radin, then he went to Kamenetz. So he went, the Chofetz Chaim was in the Beis Midrash, and he went to the Chofetz Chaim to bid farewell, to say goodbye to the Chofetz Chaim, and he was leaving. And as he walked up to say Shalom Aleichem, goodbye to the Chofetz Chaim, the lights went on. And the Chofetz Chaim turned around to me and said, that's how Mashiach is going to come. There's a story that he said a date, he didn't say that, Tarech Vaisnish, that you can discuss with the family, and you know. That's not my game. But that's what he said. That's how Mashiach is going to come. If you want a source for that in the Torah, not that it's our discussion, but it is our discussion because in the middle of the birth pangs of Mashiach, now, in case you had a notice, the labor is getting quite strong. It's the two word pasuk that I've got that Yosef says to Yehuda, to the brothers, Ani Yosef. That's the Shoresh, the Maisa Avoy, Simon Labonim, and the Torah is Ani Yosef. Because when he said Ani Yosef, two things happen. And that's what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. In a split second, not just they realize they've been redeemed, they were off the hook, they didn't have to destroy the world. They'd reached the worst place that the world ever got to. That moment, when just before Yosef said Ani Yosef, the world was over. And the entire purpose of the Bria was finished. They're going to destroy the world. No Olam Hazeh, no Olam Haba. You'd understood his Olam Haba is gone. He promised with his Olam Haba at stake. It was gone. So when he said Ani Yosef, first of all, you're redeemed. But second of all, and more importantly, in that moment, they understood why everything had happened to them and why all of it was good. As that light went on, they suddenly understood the whole story. And that split second. Up to now, they thought this was the worst possible thing that could have happened. The last 22 years have been mamish like crazy. Suddenly, the last 22 years, every molecule made perfect sense and why it was good. That's when Mashiach comes, you'll understand. First of all, we'll be redeemed. And second of all, in that moment of Ani Yosef, when the lights go on, you'll suddenly understand why everything's happened for the last 6,000 years or whatever was good and what had to be, and you'll make sense of everything. The Leshem says you'll understand why every leaf had to fall off a tree when it did. In that split second of Ani Yosef. Okay. So that's what we're waiting for. Bezrat Hashem should be soon. In the meantime, if you want to avoid Chevlei Mashiach, what should you do? If you want to avoid the labor pains of Mashiach, what should you do? The Gemara says, guaranteed. La'asek b'toyru gemilas chasodim. Somebody who's la'asek b'toyru gemilas chasodim will be spared the birth pangs of Mashiach. The Mashiach is good. That's what it says. It doesn't say learn Torah. It says la'asek b'toyru. La'asek means it's going to be your business. Your asek. What's your business? Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. I'm not picking on you. It's just you happen to be. No. Did you ever come to a wedding where you were the photographer after the chuppah was finished? Yeah, but never happened. Once out of how many? Yeah, but you made it. And let me ask you a question. Had you missed that one, out of how many would have been one that you missed? A few thousand. Yeah, that's an ASIC. That's a business. You don't come late. How can we come late to the Beis Midrash every day? I'm not appointing you. That's why you're the first guy. Yeah. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. How come we can walk in here late? Because it's not our business. If it is your business, how many times have you ever late for the court hearing? Never. Never. Why not? Because if your wife needs you, or the kids need you, or the doctor needs you, or the PTA meeting or whatever, look, I've got to be in court. I'm a doctor. I've got to do surgery now. They can phone 50,000 times. I'm in the middle of surgery. That's an ASIC. When your Torah becomes your business, then you don't make excuses. Then you, because otherwise, now seven ishma is a job. Let's do an exercise here.
Ouch.
Let me tell you a quick story, Chofetz Chaim story. But Pinkus used to tell this story. And then we'll see. We'll have to come back to this. And then let's see if we can do some work here. This is a vad. The vad we work. Let's do a bit of work. So there was a bocher came to the Chofetz Chaim. I don't know if Rav Pinkus' father was there at the time. This was a maaser said by Rav Pinkus b'shem his father, Rav Avram. I don't know if his father was there or not. I don't know. But and there's more to the story, but I just want to take out for our purposes what we need. This bocher came to the Chofetz Chaim and he said to him, I want you to promise me that in the next world, I'll be with you. I'll be in your machitza. I'll be in your Talad Amrit in the next book. That's a request of a bocher. Chofetz Chaim said, I can't promise you that. The bocher didn't give up. He stood his ground and he said, no, you have to promise me that I'll be with you in Olam Haba. Chofetz Chaim was a bit taken back by this bocher. I can't promise. So they were trying to throw him out. You can understand the comedy. Get this guy out of here. So he wouldn't be held onto the table. And he said, I'm not leaving it until you promise me I'm a kid. So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, if you promise it, you'll never speak Lashon Hora again. Take on a Kabbalah now, you'll never speak Lashon Hora again. I promise you, you'll be in my mechitza in Olam HaBa. Bocher couldn't take it on, and he left. The Chofetz Chaim said afterwards, he just walked away from Gan Eden. He had a moment there where he could have got to Gan Eden, and he did. Okay, that's the story. There's more to the story, and we don't need the rest of the story. Let me ask you a question. Everybody here, how many are we? Six Jews. All right, we're not an Ada Kodesh, but we're learning Torah. There's a Shechina here. 10 people learning Torah here. Are we prepared to accept on ourselves now? We'll never speak Lashon Hora again. Take your time. Never speak Lashon Hora again, no matter what happens. You take on upon yourself. Now, we'll never speak Lashon Hora again. Yeah, Kabbalah.
Chofetz Chaim,
No, 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 I'm not offering you the Chofetz Chaim. I'm not the Chofetz Chaim. I can't make promises where you're going to be in Gan Eden. I'm not asking you that. I'm just using the Maaseh as a hagdomah to the avoiding we want to do here. Are you prepared to take upon yourself now? You'll never speak Lashon Hara.
We're not going to do it.
Oh, good, 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 good. So you're not prepared to take on the Kabbalah. Why not? Because you know you want to be Matzliach. Good. Okay. Anything else? Anybody else? Yes, prepared to? That's it. Kabbalah, I'll never speak Lashon Hara again. You prepared to? Yes? You never speak Lashon Hara anyway, so. He never speaks Bichlal. So. Okay. No, we're not. If you're deeply honest with yourself, except Rabbi Yisrael, you're not prepared to. Why not? Because Ma'aseh V'Nishma is a joke. That's why. Because Ma'aseh V'Nishma is a joke. What's Ma'aseh V'Nishma? Kol Hashem Yomar Hashem Ma'aseh V'Nishma. Whatever you say Hashem, I'll do. How can you do that? How can you do that? That's what the Tztuki said to Rova. How did you say Ma'aseh V'Nishma? How do you take on... How do you make a Kabbalah like that? I'll never speak Lashon Hara again. But you know you're going to. You know you're going to. So how can you take on the Kabbalah?
Right now.
This is not Yom Kippur. That's a nice one for Yom Kippur. But Sheu Shab. No, there's room for that as well. I'm talking about now. I'll never speak Lashon Hara. So what gets in the way? There are two things that get in the way. First of all, I know that. And second of all, I'm not supposed to go from 0 to 100. I'm not supposed to go from North Carolina. You're asking me, listen, I'm holding a number 10, 15 on the ladder of not speaking Lashon Hara, and I'm working nicely and I'm learning, and every day I do my two alochas or whatever. I don't do my two alochas, whatever. But am I, you want me to go fetch to 100? You have the problem? Where's the Ma'aseh V'Nishma? Where's the Ma'aseh V'Nishma? So I'll tell you one thing. Like you said, if it's your ASEC, you can take on a Kabbalah like this. When you finish law school, yeah, and you become admitted to the bar, or you become a doctor, and you get admitted to the holy fraternity of Hippocratic oaths, are you ever in the middle of surgery going to take a phone call? Never. You take a never. Why not? Because never. So let me give you a few examples. I heard from a Rav, very chosh of a Rav. He decided he wanted to learn Mishnayos Baal Peh. Just Mishnayos Baal Peh. If you want to know what the endeavor is, if you do a perek a week, it takes 11 years. It's a job, brother. It's not a small task. How do you know you're going to finish? You know what's going to happen. You'll start. You'll maybe get through one Seder. You maybe get through two Sidorim. 6 years down the line, you're having children. This happens. That happens. You get a new job. You become a Magid Shir. Life moves on. Yeah, are you going to, 11 years, you promise that you're going to finish? How are you going to finish? Don't laugh. He made a deal with his wife. His wife was helping him in the cheese to bochen him once a week, whatever. If you miss one day or 1 week, if it was a weekly thing or whatever, I never cook for you ever again. Ever again.
I wouldn't start.
You wouldn't start. He started and he finished. He said he came out once from a daughter's chasana. Late at night, you made a chasana, you know what it's like, yeah? My daughter's chasana or whatever. He said to his wife just tonight, and she said, okay, that's it, I don't cook anymore. That's it, I'm off the hook, I never cook for you again. Not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov, ever again. I don't ever cook for you again. I've been in his house and every place that he was making a knedla. But that's not because of this. Probably just makes better knedla. I don't know, whatever. 11 years down the line, he said it was touch and go a few times, but once you take it on, another example. You want to finish Daf Yomi. How many times you started Daf Yomi you didn't finish? You want to see Shas. So then Eitzah, that 100% guaranteed. You go to the Magid Shir, and you make a deal with the Magid Shir that he'll never start the Shir until you get there. Until I'm there, the Shir can't stop. No exceptions. No exception. You make sure you're there. Because you know, if you're not there, 20 people aren't having a Daf Yomi Shir today. You want the responsibility for that. Test it. You'll never, ever miss the Shir. Came the evening when he had a daughter's wedding in Beneta. The Shir's in Yerushalayim. Now, you can't be in two places at once. No matter how holy you are, but to be at your daughter's wedding and at the Daf Yomi Shir together, it's not going to work. What do you do?
You invite the Magid Shir and all
the... Oh, that's what he did. Took a Hasa'ah from Yerushalayim to Vakshal and they had the Shir in the hall. You see, when you take on a Kabbalah, Yeah. First of all, you get enormous koyach after you took on the Kabbalah. You get enormous siyata dishmaya. Okay. But second of all, you don't play games. You'll find solutions. You'll find solutions to your problems every time. The same way as you never missed a wedding. I'm sure there were plenty of reasons to miss weddings. There must have been bad weather. There must have been a sickness. There must have been a this. There must have been pressing engagement. I've got to go to the wedding. What can I do? I'm the photographer. If the photographer's not at a wedding, the shalom, whether you have to do the wedding again or not, no? With Aaron Feldman's brother, what's his name? The Feldman, writes all the books, Emmanuel Feldman. He has like these tongue-in-cheek tshuvas. True about that you have to do the chassan again if the photographer wasn't there.
But I made the kippah after that. I would never do an out-town wedding unless it was another flight or another train going. I could get there in time.
Or that's another thing. You see, you make a dori, you make sense for yourself. That's what it means, last week with Torah. Like, doesn't Torah mean you will learn 27 hours a day? Last week with Torah means my curiosity in the Torah is my business. With an hour a day, 2 hours a day, whatever it is, but that's my business. Everything else has to fit in with that. But this is not negotiable. Then you'll always be on time. Yeah, but my wife, what about this? What about that? You'll make a plan. You'll make a plan. There was a guy, he's a nag, not a avrech, he's a father. So his job was to leave Tifrach at 5 o'clock in the morning, pick up a certain Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim, and bring him back to Tifrach in order to be there for the Shiva that he was the Rosh Hashiva of Shach. Whatever time it was. One morning he gets into his car at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you know that's sad. Where are you going to get Kabbalim at 5 o'clock in the morning? You're going to have Kabbalim. No, wake up a neighbor at 5 o'clock in the morning. First of all, you don't have the key. Second of all, you're not a gunner. What do you do? What do you do?
Taxi.
Oh, so I found a taxi and he has me in the taxi to come to his house with Kabbalim. There was a famous mice that's brought down in a few books of students about the Yidu arrived in Israel at 2 o'clock in the morning and he had this thing that he never davened, not in a minyan. He wouldn't not daven in a minyan. You have to daven in a minyan. So he asked the taxi driver, where can he get a minyan at 2 o'clock in the morning? He said, go to Zichron Moshe. Zichron Moshe is the minyan factory, the Shtiblach there, the famous Shtiblach in Yerushalayim there. The Zichron Moshe behind Geula there, the Shchuna Zichron Moshe, famous Shtiblach. He's going to be a minion at 2 o'clock in the morning. At Zichron Moshe, even Zichron Moshe, 2 o'clock in the morning, you won't find a minion. Take me to Zichron Moshe. Got to Zichron Moshe. It was him and his taxi driver. That's two people. They're still short eight. That's it. Forget about it. Go, Davin, and then I'll wait for you and I'll take you home. And there's a... Found eight taxis, found a taxi company. He said, send me eight taxis, Anima Shalem Leze, with kippers. They had a million, he paid them all and they went home. You see, when it's a business, what would I have done? First of all, I wouldn't have got to Zichron Moshe. Wherever I was going from the airport to my hotel, I would have done it in my hotel. I know, I've done that myself. But would have made a plan. I wouldn't have got to Zichron Moshe, but he got to Zichron Moshe because he needs a minion. So he took the first step. You take the first step, of course, Baruch Hu helps you. You take the Kabbalah and you make it your business, you'll find solutions to the problem. And maybe then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reduce his charoin up a little bit and we can get back to...
It's a question of motivation.
For sure.
You want 100%.
That's what's got to be your business. Because when it comes to business, we're very straight. When it comes to learning, it's not my business. So if I'm a bit late or I don't learn today, so I won't let out to court tomorrow. We'll have the court case tomorrow. So the wedding, they wait for the photographer. No, they're my business. I play straight. So make this your business. And then the motivation is there. Nachon? Sorry? Oh? You do what you have to do.
Yeah. Didn't make anything on the wedding, but at least I got
time. But you got there on time, even at a loss. Even if you would lose money, but you would be there because your reputation's at stake. You all have a buzz at stake here. Fine. All right. Questions, comments, reactions. Once again, it's not about the time. You see, the Ezra comes in and says, listen, anyway, you're not one of these Teira Umanosa, you know, these guys that are learning full time. So anyway, you're not the robot. So you come a bit late. So whatever. Anyway, you're about a book. No, this is my business. Yeah, but you only learn 3 hours a day, 2 hours a day. The people learning 16 hours a day. That's their business. This is my business, and I take my business seriously. Sorry?
That's
Isaac. It's an Isaac. I'm sure the other Pshatim. I'm not saying it's the only. Well, that's what works for me. One of the memches kinyana teira, which you need in order to make a kinyana teira, is miut schoira, to minimize business dealings. It doesn't say no business dealings. If to minimize, it means you have to have some. Rav Noach has a moedika, one of the memches shirim of Rav Noach, that really mamash had a big impact on me, and that's this one. Is learn from the businessmen how to run your Torah life. You never saw a businessman waking up in the morning and not being able to find his keys to the office or to the store. You never spend 15, 20 minutes running around looking for the keys to the store. Because before you go to bed at night, you know where the keys are. You never saw the Baal Makolet coming an hour late because he had a bit of a cold. And a bit of the sniffles. He opened up the Makolet at 5 o'clock in the morning. No, today it's different. Today they don't open it up. They send someone else. He arrives in his Mercedes, a little button, and the things go up. I'm talking about a real Baal Makolet. He never, unless there was one of those signs out there saying he was sitting Shiva, he was inside. A lot you can learn from the way people run their businesses to know how to run our Torah lives. That's why he's never late for Shia, because he was never late for a wedding. He's a photographer, very good photographer.
A few weddings that did with raging temperature.
Oh, but you wouldn't come here with a raging temperature. No, I mean, you would, I don't know. I wouldn't. Sick? No, you gotta work sick. You gotta work sick. Yeah, okay, I'm just saying. Okay, yeah. Anyway, there's something to just think about. If there's an asa of an Ishma, then there's an asa of an Ishma. There's an asa, forget the Nishma. There's an asa. Hashem said, do it, you do it. What'll be for sure? Now we have to, let's say in the Bigma of Lashon Hara, now we have to get together, we have to work out techniques, tools. Avada built into Nase is Shevet Tzadik Yopal Vakam. Built into Nase is also Hilchas Tshuva. It's understood you're not going to always get it right. It's also part of the Nase Benishma. For sure, you're not perfect. The humans, just because you took it on, it means you're never going to make mistakes. No, making mistakes is wired into the system as well, but there has to be a Kabbalah. This is my business. I never speak Lashon Hora again. Oh, now you have a business. Go learn about business. Go do an MBA in Lashon Hora. Start by learning the halachas, but more than that, look at when am I most vulnerable to speaking Lashon Hora? How do you avoid those situations? How do you prepare? You start making an ASIC out of it. You just become a photographer. You must have studied a little bit. You learned whatever, apertures and schmapertures and lenses and distance, and you must have learned a little bit. You didn't just pick up a camera and start shooting. No, you made the...
You have to learn what you are doing. Don't talk what we are doing. We have no motivation.
See, that's how we started the subject, you remember?
Yeah.
Knowledge breeds love. Yeah. Love breeds simcha. Yeah. Nachon. You have to daven very hard that what you're doing is what you love.
Yeah.
Because learning Torah is not always lovable. Learning Torah can sometimes be difficult and hard. The Chasam Sofer davened. He said he davened every day that he would wake up one morning with no cheshek to learn. With no cheshek to learn, with no brain to learn. He said he never learned without cheshek. Well, what it means that a person who learns when it's difficult has scha 100 times somebody who learns with cheshek. He never had that. He davened just once in my life, let me learn without cheshek so I can have a taste of what that is. He said he always woke up, he wanted to learn. Most of us don't have that problem. Most of us, it's very hard to learn. But the more you do it and the more you stick to it, slowly, slowly, it becomes lovable, it becomes geschmack. What do you if you don't have cheshek to learn?
Make yourself a cup. I'm not going to start drinking until I start to
learn. I was with some Yitzhak Shiner Zatzal. I went to ask him, we have to stop. I went to ask him to come speak in the yeshiva in Beit Shemesh. He was in Yerushalayim. He was sitting in the lounge. He had a very small house. Very small house. The lounge was there and his bed was not even with a swarimo. So I invited him to come speak and whatever. He said, I don't think you understand. He said, I don't have the koach to get from this table to my bed. I'm an old man. Schlepped to Beit Shemesh to give a shir. I don't see how I could do that. He said, they've been lying to you, Rebbe. I'm an old man. I can't even get to my bed without help. How are you going to? Fine. We schmoozed. We carried on talking about Rosses with me. And then he says to Ephraim, to Ross, he says, ah, next week I'm going to New York. Going fundraising for the yeshiva. So I said, Rosh Yeshiva, with all due respect, Beit Shemesh is a lot closer than New York. The Rosh Yeshiva can come to New York, but he can't come to Beit Shemesh. He said to me, that I have to do. What I have to do. You're right, I can't do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But I have to do it, so I'll do it. To go to Beit Shemesh, I don't have to go to Beit Shemesh. Be nice if I could have, and a loyal call. But America, I have to go. The Byron Leib asked Rav Nosson Tzvi, that's all. Shortly before his nifter, he said, you slept koyach for all your travels? I know, Rav Nosson Tzvi was a sick man. You slept koyach for all your travels? He says, I go without koyach. I don't have koyach. Lamais, I don't. I don't have koyach to stand up. But I've got to go, so you go without koyach. That's when it's your business.
You have no choice.
Oh, the same guy, he's learning his Mishnah is Bopeh. He has a choice. His wife's never going to cook for him again. You have a choice. Do you know what that means? That means Shabbos, you start cooking. That means the
it's interesting.